So, Eric, when you think about your least favorite things, what are some of the things you think about?
Well, I think of like cleaning.
Cleaning, yeah.
Yeah, getting up early.
Yeah, I think about like when people don't return their shopping carts to the
cart. I hate that.
Return. Yeah. What about moving?
Oh, man, I hate moving.
Yeah, you gotta like plan all this like furniture, like size, and if it's gonna fit through doors, and like where you're gonna put your cat while you're doing all this.
And the boxes. Don't get me started on the boxes.
The boxes.
You need at least 3 or 4 big boxes.
Well, good thing today we're talking about a game called Moving Out, which is a whole lot more fun than actual moving.
Moving Out is a 2020 cooperative moving simulation game developed by Swedish studio DevM Games and Australian developer SMG Studio. In a local cooperative experience, players move objects from houses into a moving van while coping with exaggerated physics. The game was released for Microsoft Windows, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on April 20th, 2020, and for Amazon Luna on January 28th, 2021. Amazon Luna.
I didn't even know that was a platform. So, Eric, you excited to learn all about moving out?
Yeah, you know, hopefully it's a little bit more entertaining than actually moving out.
Oh, it is. You better buckle up.
All right.
Get in the truck because we're moving out. I actually want to take you back to before this game was even thought about.
So the 1980s?
You wish. Another totally awesome time, the year of 2013.
2013. The yes. 1980s of the 2000s.
This is where I'm going to introduce you to Moving Out creator Jan Riggerl. And he works at a company called Soap Creative, which is a division of SMG Games. And while he was working there as a game developer, this is where he met Ashley Ringrose, who also works at the same company. So they're working together. They're co-working.
Okay. So Ashley and Jan over at Soap.
Over at Soap. Fast forward a little bit. Jan has moved on to work for another company, but Ashley is still working for Soap and actually enjoyed working with Jan so much that even after they left, Ashley would email Jan about every 6 months to try to convince them to come back to the company and work for them. Yeah, so he did this for a little while and, you know, obviously it didn't work until...
He got fired.
No.
Oh.
How do you think the idea for this game came about?
I think what happened was they probably played Overcooked and they were like, oh man, let's just make Overcooked but with moving stuff.
Wrong. It's December 2016 and surprise, surprise, Jan's helping a friend move. There's no special story of how this came up except... You know, unlike most of us who just get frustrated and angry that we have to help someone move because we're like old and moving sucks.
What's that supposed to mean? We're not old.
You know, we've all been there. We've all helped people move. We've all moved ourselves. And I think you do eventually get to a point where you're like, man, if I can afford it, I'm hiring some movers.
Oh, yeah.
This is a lot of work.
Totally worth it.
But Jan, instead of getting frustrated like most of us, he became quite fascinated with the process of moving, like strategies involved with, you know, moving a couch down a narrow hallway or, you know, through a doorway or downstairs.
It's nice to know that someone can look at something that's going to suck like that and be like, yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And like in interviews and stuff, he actually mentioned, he's like, okay, we're pre-gaming for this move. All right. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, they're having some beers before they move. Probably not the smartest idea, but depending on your age, you know, if you're like 21, you're probably just going to do it anyways. But anyway, but no, pre-gaming for him was meeting up with the people that were going to move the house with him and coming up with a strategy of how, like, they were going to move everything out in what order and, like, measuring everything. So he's very much a, sounds like a type A kind of personality. Yeah.
If I had a friend who wanted to pregame before moving and that's what they pulled out, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
you figure it out. I'm going to go have a beer over here.
Yeah. So we've got Jan. You know, he used to work at Soap. He's moved on. And for whatever reason, he's helping a friend move. And he gets the idea for this new video game while he's helping someone move. So the next year, 2016, well, because, you know, that was December. So the next year, 2017, he's working on this game. And it is kind of growing into something bigger than what he, like, started with, you know?
Yeah.
And he tweets a tweet.
He tweets a tweet.
Changes everything. It says, the game I'm currently working on is consistently growing in scope. It may become much better, but there's also a huge risk for my finances. And guess who saw that tweet?
I forget if it was Ashley or Jan.
Ashley.
Ashley, okay.
And he's like, ding, 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 ding. Idea, idea. He needs money. My company has money. This is a way that I can convince him to come back and partner. So so Ashley swooped in and finally convinced Jan to team up with him again.
Be like, hey, we
dream
can
come true for Ashley.
We can help you develop or produce your game.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah. At this point, Jan had the initial concept, prototype, and core engine built. So SMG came on board to kind of help out with everything else, like kind of fine tune everything, get the last details put in,
okay,
really like refine it and turn it into something of quality, you know.
Yeah.
Get out all the bugs,
make it look like Overcooked. Sorry, lots of Overcooked jokes.
Yeah. And this is kind of where they eventually team up with Team 17 that also publish Overcooked.
Okay.
So after they made the game and kind of got everything almost done, they teamed up with Team 17. Teamed up with Team 17. And they helped with publishing and logistics, but they also have a really high quality QA team there.
Yeah.
So they were able to help out with just making sure the quality of the game was, you know, perfect whenever it came out.
Yeah.
You know, it probably wasn't perfect, but, you know, as perfect as it could be.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised because my guess would have been like Team 17 was like, hey, we did cooking, now let's do moving.
Yeah, right.
That was my guess.
And I always thought that they had more of a connection too. I thought it would be like the same people that made Overcooked and Moving Out, but actually it's really not connected other than
it sounds like
the publishing team is the same.
Yeah, it sounds like a totally different developer.
Yeah, and Team 17, they do a lot of co-op games and stuff like that. It sounds like they might have a lot of games that are kind of in that similar fashion on their resume or whatever. But bonus fun fact is Jan never played Overcooked before making the prototype of Moving Out. While he embraces the comparison, it's only a coincidence that it's kind of similar because he didn't have the reference point for Overcooked yet. So
you're just trying to rub it in my face how wrong I was.
Yeah. I mean, I was wrong too, so I can't really say much. Jan notes the various differences, including Moving Out having a more focused single player experience. I can kind of see that. Like, the Overcooked single player experience is very chaotic. Like, you have to shuffle between multiple players, and that can get kind of crazy.
I honestly have criticisms of both games' single player experiences, but I'll save it for later.
And we're just talking about Moving Out, so we don't really need to get into Overcooked too much. But that's basically what I have. So Moving Out was released on April 28th, 2020. Just right in the thick of the pandemic, or like right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Probably... And like you said, it was released for Windows, Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, to generally positive reviews.
Yeah. It probably would have been a good time to release during the, yeah, during the height of the pandemic.
Especially a co-op game, so you can at least play with like your roommates or like your partner or friend, whoever you live with, your family.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, true.
So you ready for some fun facts?
Fun facts. Yeah. All let's right. do it.
So fun fact number one, the accessibility features in Moving Out means anyone can enjoy playing it regardless of their video game experience or physical capacity or even age. Instead of offering difficulty levels, the game offers players the option to map the controls to different buttons, change the size of the UI, and there's options to avoid extensive button holding or repeated button pressing, things like that. Different hands have different dexterities and stuff like that. So not everyone can like press the same button 50 times in a row. You know, they might not have the muscle there to do that. So
okay, so
you
this...
can change, you know, whatever controls you want to whatever buttons fit your abilities.
Okay, so there's a lot cool. of customization with the accessibility mm-hmm. options. That's good.
Yeah, and they also offer, you know, like every character has the option to have a wheelchair and things like that, which I thought was pretty cool. So they really go above and beyond with the accessibility. That was really important to them.
Cool.
Yeah. Fun fact number two, if you look closely, you can find many pop culture Easter eggs, including references to the Ninja Turtles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Back to the Future, The Goonies, and many more.
I missed all of these references while playing this game.
Oh, yeah. I saw a couple of them. There's like one of the levels and they have these little turtles running around, and the turtles have little masks on them. The colors of the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah.
So when we're playing next time, you'll have to look around because it's definitely not the stuff that you're picking up and moving, and, you know,
actually,
it's probably stuff on the shelves and like things like that.
Actually, I'm thinking about it. Now I remember the Ferris Bueller reference, because that one level with the car that comes out the window.
Yeah, see? So like that's just a few of them, but since the game has like a very 80s feel, you know, a lot of the Easter eggs are from like 80s stuff.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, fun fact number three. Aside from two tracks, the music in Moving Out is a time capsule of compositions actually made in the 1980s.
Oh, cool. Wow.
So the music in the game is for real, authentic 80s music. It actually started when one of the devs cut the initial announcement trailer to the track The Touch by Stan Bush. You might know this because it's the 1980s Transformers cartoon movie, like, theme song.
Yeah.
Very specific, but I guess if you're probably, like, a boy in the 80s, you probably knew this song. Everyone loved it, like, the song that they chose. So they actually reached out to Stan Bush and his team about potentially licensing the song for the final version of the trailer. Well, while all this was happening, they end up hearing back from Lenny Macaluso, who is the producer / co-writer of that song, The Touch. Okay, like this is a lot going on. But they hear back from him. It turns out he has a lot of tracks from the 80s that he never did anything with. All right, so this,
wow.
So he opens up his archives of tracks literally made in the 80s that were never released for the game. So they tried to use as many of these songs as they could. And I just think that's great that like all the music is like actually from the 80s. Because when you're playing, you're like, oh, yeah, this sounds like it's from the 80s. But it actually is from the 80s.
Wow. So they took compositions written in the 80s and reproduced them for today.
Yeah, I think that is so random. Like, you're reaching out to the guy who performed the song, and then you end up talking to the guy that wrote the song, and then I don't know. It's like kind of kismet that like these songs, they kind of got a second chance at life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's cool. The Moving Out soundtrack is actually on Steam and Spotify. If anybody wants to listen to it, some cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Chill modern 80s guitar cheesiness. It's so great. So that's pretty much all I got for that part.
So that's your history.
Yeah. What do you think? Anything surprise you?
The most surprising thing to me was that it was not based on Overcooked.
Yeah, I really thought like, man, yeah, they just wanted to do something like Overcooked. But I wonder if you kind of think that about like as most co-op games, you know, kind of in that fashion. Like, are you going to compare all co-op games to Overcooked?
Am I going to compare every couch co-op game to Overcooked? No, I'm just going to compare the ones that play and look a lot like Overcooked.
They are both pretty colorful. Like the characters kind of like, you know, I could kind of see them almost being done by the same artist even. Like the art style is kind of similar.
That's kind of what I think is like, okay, yeah, Overcooked, you're choosing like all the plethora of like animal, human characters.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And then
Overcooked is definitely, I think, more challenging than Moving Out.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go into that.
But I don't want to do too much comparison because that's not what the episode's supposed to be.
I literally have that as one of my comparison points for later. But yeah, you know, I'll be brief about it, I guess.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start with the pros and what we liked about the game.
So yeah, I love the concept. I feel like Team 17 has a good formula going. Take a mundane chore, amp up the wackiness and chaos, and make it a couch co-op teamwork game.
Yeah.
It works. It works very well.
Even though Team 17 really didn't have much to do with, like, the concept or anything.
Yeah, now that I know that, it makes it makes that sound a little bit weird, but yeah.
But hey, why come up with the concepts when you could find other people to do it?
Yeah, why not take other mundane tasks, make it a teamwork game, and put it out there?
So what other mundane tasks do you want them to make a game about?
You know, gardening. Actually, they're probably already like mini games about that.
Could be like a garbage truck person.
Yeah, washing your car. Well, I guess power wash simulators.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They've already done all this. They've already taken every mundane task and made it a game.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stop talking.
I think this game is fun to play co-op mode or solo mode. Definitely not as challenging in solo mode, but I still think that both modes are pretty fun.
Yeah, I think
they also had like an arcade mode too that is like pretty cool.
Yeah, to me, I think the much funner mode is the co-op mode, but
yeah, I think so too.
Could just be me.
I mean, co-op's more fun, but I thought the solo was kind of fun too.
I didn't think it was quite as good. I actually kind of had that.
Only played like one level solo.
Yeah, and it wasn't that good. I'm like, I played the one level and I'm like, I've had about enough of this.
Oh, I also like the colorful and fun world, and the characters are all like really wacky and silly. Like, I like that you can be like a toaster head guy. And, like, every time you bump into something, like, your toast pops out of your toaster, and it's kind of hilarious. There's, like, one character that farts every time he, like, bumps into a wall or something.
The toast character is hilarious the first half dozen times it happens, and then it's like, all right, stop throwing toast everywhere.
I think it's fun, though.
One of the things I liked was the humor.
Yeah, like humor.
It's okay to wreck as much stuff as you want.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you get the items in the truck.
Yeah, this is not a break it, you buy it situation. This is a break it, no one cares. It's like, yeah. As long as their TV gets moved, they don't care if it's broken.
Yeah, throw that bed out the window. Will be fine.
Yeah, break all the windows in the house, you know? Like, let their chickens loose. That's great.
the quotes between levels are also really good.
Oh, yeah.
I like the corporate positivity and the satire, you know, it's based on.
Yeah, I like the whole like 80s theme they have going on. Like the tutorial is kind of like a training video, and it's like, I don't know, it's just very retro and super fun.
Yeah.
I like all the accessibility features that we talked about earlier. You know, I like that more games are doing that, trying to make the games accessible for everybody to play.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, that's always cool, and I want to see more games do that.
I felt the difficulty progression was pretty good. You progress from basic homes to corporate buildings to factories and finally into space. And each area kind of introduces new obstacles and challenges.
Yeah.
Challenges. They did a pretty good job of like, just, okay, here's a mundane house. Okay, now you're in space, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a steady ramp up.
Yeah, I agree with you that the challenge level kind of escalates at a really good pace.
Cool.
I really like the music in this game. Like yeah. We already talked about in the fun facts. The music is just
That's
awesome.
Cool to know that it's actually from the 80s.
Yeah. Because it definitely sounds like it's from the 80s. But like, I thought it was someone new that like did something that was supposed to sound like it was from the 80s. I didn't think it was actually from the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Just inspired by the 80s sound. Yeah, it's funny that it actually was from the 80s. My last pro is that I like the character customization. It lets you make the character your own without things getting too time consuming. Because sometimes when you have too many customization options, you know, you can get really, really into it.
Yeah, you end up spending like an hour customizing your character.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a good amount like between.
Yeah, it only gives you like three, four things or like four or five things.
Well, you're choosing a character type and then you're customizing like, you know.
Yeah, like their hat, their color.
Yeah.
Wheelchair, no wheelchair.
Their dance move.
And their dance moves, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the attention to detail in this game, I think, is really fun. Like, the map where you're driving around is super cool when you have all like, little cars driving around. And, like, even that part is really nice. Like, when you're moving in these landscapes, like, all the kind of decor and stuff that they use, I think it all goes with, like, the 80s theme. Yeah. You know, you're not really moving any flat-screen TVs or anything. It's all, like, those box TVs, you know, the couches look retro, and like the Easter eggs that they put in there, I think, yeah, they just did a really good job of like fine tuning all the little details.
Yeah, I agree. And the overworld is really well designed, just in the fact that everything looks really good, and driving into cars is pretty hilarious and funny.
Yeah. And like, I also liked, for the most part, the physics of the game is like pretty normal, but it's a little off, you know. It's like you'll be like trying to swing this box around and it'll like swing you all the way around, or like when you're like trying to run with your arms out, you just kind of like flailing around. I don't know, like
it's a little bit floaty too, but that's I think that adds to the fun.
I do too.
Yeah,
it adds to the like silliness of everything.
Yeah, more chaos with games like this tends to be the better option.
Yeah. I also think the additional objectives that they have for you, like, they don't give it the additional objectives to you the very first time you play. They let you play through it, and then they give you the objectives. That way you can kind of play the first round through and just get, like, the basic concept of the level.
Yeah.
And then play it again and try to get those extra objectives. But I think that those were, like, really silly and fun, too. There are some time kind of goals, but it wasn't like, you know, move everything within 2 minutes. It was more like, break all the windows, you know, make a goal in the basketball hoop, or like, set the goose free, you know, like, these silly kind of objectives that aren't really, like, about moving stuff necessarily.
Yeah, it kind of adds to the replayability when you come back, because you don't see those at first, so you don't really get to take a crack at them until the second time. You're probably going to do some of them anyway, just because, you know, some of them are pretty basic, but others not so much.
Yeah, like this game doesn't take itself too seriously, you know.
Oh yeah, nothing about this game is serious at all.
Nothing. Like, yeah, that's one thing I like about it too. This game, not serious. Silly and fun. Good to play with friends. Good to play with a group. Good to play with your family, you know, all ages.
Yeah. The one thing I regret is the fact that we didn't get to play it with three or four people.
Yeah, we only got to play the two of us.
So I didn't really get to see that aspect, but I imagine that would be even more chaotic. And
yeah.
Which would be good, because that's like perfect in a game like this.
Next time we're with friends, we'll make them all play Moving Out. So, Eric, what are some things that you didn't like about the game?
My first con was that I thought it was a little bit repetitive. Usually after like about an hour or so, you can get a little bit bored. Some levels will switch things up, but the basic formula stays pretty much the same. Like you're trying to get objects from point A to point B, and you're also trying to kind of arrange them in this truck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a very, very simple concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even with some of the levels switching it up, it does get kind of like, okay, yeah, doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it's a pretty short game too, though. So,
yeah,
you know, things can't get that repetitive. Not to where it's like not fun anymore, but
yeah, that's true.
Definitely might not want to play this for like 3 hours at a time.
yeah, this isn't like a 3 or 4 hour long haul. It's like you pick it up for an hour and then you move on to something else.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think the solo mode was fun, but definitely not nearly as challenging or silly or chaotic as co-op mode.
Yeah,
it's just like something about having to communicate out loud with people to get your goal accomplished.
Yeah, you know? It takes all the coordination and fun out of it. I thought it was just you dragging objects to a specific spot in the most efficient way.
Yeah,
this game really shines when you have other people to play with. But to me, when you're kind of playing by yourself, it's just
like, how fast can I do this?
Yeah, it's a little one-dimensional. Another thing is I just would want to see like more types of objects and more ways of moving them. Like anything they could do to like amp up the silliness and chaos would be good. Like I want to see catapults or dollies or explosions you can use to move objects. I want to see objects with status effects, like something that would make you fly or speed around or other wacky stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, just...
You mean for future games?
Yeah. I feel like they could take this concept further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And then my final con was that I feel this game just kind of makes me want to play Overcooked too.
Because Overcooked is fun.
Yeah, to me, like it has a lot of that same chaotic and fun nature, but it's just not quite as good.
Yeah, I think I like Overcooked better, but I like this game too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, just not as much.
Definitely a lot more different things to do in Overcooked. Both games really fun. If you're looking for a couch co-op, I'd recommend both.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Overcooked, definitely would recommend this game for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, so what's some of your strategy, Eric?
So the first thing is like when you first see a level, like that camera will kind of pan around the level and show you everything.
Yeah.
Like that's a good time to start, you know, talking strategy.
With your partner.
And obviously, like we're not big into like doing too much strategy stuff, so usually that's at least we'll find a couch or something to start with and be like, okay, let's start with this couch over here. Or
yeah, definitely I think it's good to start with the two person stuff because it's usually bigger, and you know, since you need both of you, if there's only two of you to move it, then like you can kind of get that stuff out of the way, get it on the truck.
Yeah.
And then you're not stuck with big objects at the end that you have to like find room for.
Yeah, know? but at the same time, you can't just move only the big objects because sometimes it's just not that efficient to do it that way.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to mix it up.
Yeah. Communicating with your teammate, probably the number one most important piece of strategy.
Oh, yeah.
Talk it out. Make sure you know who's going through the door, who's not, or else you just end up in a position you didn't want to be in.
Even when you know who's going through the door, sometimes it's still hard to control.
Yeah.
When you have two people trying to control the same object.
You got to get the angle perfectly straight and stuff sometimes, and that can be tough with two people.
Yeah. So throwing and catching objects is pretty important in this game.
Yes.
There will be many situations where throwing something out a window or over a pit or water hazard is going to be the fastest solution.
Yeah.
The small objects you can throw yourself, but you'll have to get good at coordinating the large object throws with your teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fragile objects can be thrown, but they also have to be caught. So,
yeah.
So you have to
evaluate the risk.
Which is actually pretty fun.
Yeah. Go as fast as you can. Like this is a this is a speed. You don't have to worry about breaking stuff. You don't have to worry about like much. Yeah, gotta go fast.
Yeah, break those doors off the hinges, smash through the windows.
Yeah, throw chunk stuff. Yeah,
anything that gets in your way, it's all right to destroy it.
That's right. Well, it's kind of fun too. Put the large stuff on the truck first because the truck kind of becomes a fun game of Tetris, you know, kind of like if you're moving in real life. it kind of helps to have the big things on there, and then you can kind of throw the little things on top of the big things. But yeah. You can't really throw the big things on top of the little things.
You can. You know? I mean, you definitely can. You have to coordinate them, though.
It's just not as efficient, I feel like.
Yeah. And to me, like, arranging that truck is one of the more frustrating aspects of the game.
Yeah. Especially if you have, like, a big couch, and it's, like, the last thing. You're like, just this one little piece doesn't want to fit.
Yeah, and so usually what will happen is you'll end up, like, with one kind of big piece of furniture that doesn't quite fit that you'll just chuck it on at the end or something.
Yeah. Hey, but it doesn't matter, so. You get it on there, you get it on there.
That's true.
And one last piece of strategy is, like, you'll have a lot of levels that will have levers, buttons, things like that. Go ahead and, like, press those and figure out what they do, because a lot of times they might open up a more convenient, like, door to the outside, or you might need to press a button to get a box down from somewhere that's higher up, or, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, if there's a button or a lever or anything like that, just explore it, see what it does, because, like, it could probably help you navigate the level faster.
You don't have to tell me twice when I see a button.
Oh, I know. You like to slap it. Pow, pow. Even that slap button.
You were underutilizing it.
Just slapped you. Pow, pow. Just kidding. So, Eric, did you find anything for the future?
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, I didn't even realize when you picked this game that Moving Out 2 already came out.
I didn't either. Somehow we missed that.
Yeah, so Moving Out 2 came out in August of 2023.
So it took them about 3 years to make another one.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
And to me, the first game is definitely good enough to warrant a sequel, so it's definitely something.
And they did come out with, what, like 2 or 3 DLC packs for the Moving Out that we could have gotten, but we didn't.
We definitely could have gotten the expansion packs, but, you know, I was pretty happy with just the base game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely curious about Moving Out 2 and what they've changed up and what they've added or taken out.
I bet they added some of the stuff that you suggested, you know, like some more vehicles and moving stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
So I had to bet.
I'd definitely be interested.
Yeah. So we'll have to get Moving Out 2. See what that's all about.
Check it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, Eric, we're all curious to know. Did you beat the game solo or with me?
Definitely beat it with you.
Yeah. Woo woo. I definitely did not. Like, we played this game like a while ago and we didn't beat it, but I didn't realize we were so close to the end.
Yeah, we only have like a couple of levels
like,
left.
More like in the middle of the game, but it's not that long of a game, so I'm sure you would have, like, beaten it anyways. But, yeah. So, I guess you won't be rapping this week. But we do have something else fun to announce.
Yeah, we're going to have a special guest for our next episode.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh.
Luke Nukem.
Luke Nukem, a.k.a. Luke McKinney.
All right. So, I got an email from Luke right here.
Who's Luke, by the way? How do we know that guy? Like, I know him through you, but how do you know Luke?
I know Luke through my brother.
Yeah.
Austin.
Yeah, he's like your brother Austin's best friend. You've known him since, like, you were in high school?
Yeah, I'd say I've known him for about that long.
Go way, way back.
Back when I used to have long hair.
Way back with Luke.
Yeah, I miss
so,
that.
So I'm kind of interested to see what game he would pick, because I know he likes, I don't know, he's kind of like us. He plays a lot of different kinds of games. I know he likes retro old games.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that he plays a lot of Xbox games, and, like, he was playing the new Resident Evil. Well, I guess the remake of Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a newer game recently. Yeah, and so, like, it could kind of go, like, as far as what game he's going to pick, it could go, like, a lot of different ways.
Man, and we just played, we played a lot of Mario Kart 64 and Mario Tennis back in the day. Could also go that route, too.
All right, so
that used to be kind of a ritual.
I'm gonna, like, guess that he's gonna, like, choose something older, though, knowing Luke.
You think so?
Yeah. Maybe not, like, old, like, Atari old, but, like, maybe not a new game either. That's all right. My guess.
So what's your guess? Do you have a specific game?
What's that one, like, he did that cool YouTube video about where he like made that like parking garage that you could like slide around in. Maybe that game.
I honestly forget the name of it. I could look it up.
The car one.
He mentioned Half-Life, so I'm going to say maybe Half-Life.
All right. Well, I guess open the email.
All right. So there's a lot. I'm going to skip around a little bit. The game is Fallout on PC, the first and original.
Fallout.
He says...
That's the game with, like, Nuka-Cola, right?
Nuka-Cola, yeah.
Nuka-Cola, yeah.
Vault dwellers Nikki and Eric, I have bad news. The controller chip for the water purification system has shit the bed, and the workaround is too complicated for the nerdy guys.
What will we do?
Simply put, if one of you don't find a replacement controller chip, we're going to get real thirsty.
Uh-oh.
Nikki, I want you to take the easy path because I have a special request for you. The Vault 13 mascot, Dogmeat, is missing. I need you to bring him back alive with the chip. He'll find you. I gave him a pair of your sneakers to chew on once, so he'll start following you and recognizes you. He loves treats.
Okay, cool. I like animals.
Eric, it's up to you to take the normal path. What is normal? Is it normal to yodel your ABCs when you see a pretty lady? Who knows? With both of you leaving the vault, there's a chance that outsiders will follow your path back to Vault 13. We need something that says, I pity the fool that knocked on that door. The vault needs power armor and a minigun. That equipment is important, but the controller chip is vital to our survival.
Oh my gosh. Luke is a silly guy.
You're about to face the fallout of war.
Oh my gosh.
Good luck and Godspeed.
All right.
Love it. That is great.
And Fallout is a computer game, right?
Yeah.
So I got to play it with a mouse and a keyboard.
Mouse
and
keyboard.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yay. My favorite.
Man, there are a lot of mouse and keyboard games we could do that are great.
I know, but the carpal tunnel. The carpal tunnel.
You'll survive.
All right, well, I'm excited to play. I think I have played one Fallout game, but it was one of the newer ones.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't get into it that well. I think it was just, like, too hard too soon.
I played...
gave up.
I played through Fallout 4, and it kind of had that Oblivion kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I know this is a classic one that a lot of people talk about, so.
Yeah.
We'll see if I like it.
Looking forward to it. All right.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye. If you like this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. And you can check out our sweet, sweet, totally rad website, pressanybutton.net, where you can listen to our raps. You can check out what's going on our Instagram. You can even buy a t-shirt. A lot of cool stuff going on over there. So pressanybutton.net. Check it out. Bye.